am filled with the Holy Ghost. I am better.
I am better.
By His Spirit.
By His Spirit.
I am filled.
I am filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost.
I am better.
I am better.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are better by God's word. We are better by God's spirit this morning and in this service in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, let's have a seat. Come forward. Thank you very much. Good morning. Morning, morning, morning. Nice to see everyone. This morning we'll have a brief charge or a brief exhortation. Hallelujah. Are we ready? All right, bring out your books. Church is the school. Bring out your books. Bring out your Bibles. Hard copy Bible. Like your salvation is hard. And your pen. Are we set? Okay. This charge, I want you to listen very, very carefully. Listen. And don't hear what I'm not saying. Because that is actually what we are going to talk about. And the title is, Heed Your Hearing. Heed your hearing. That means watch your hearing. Be careful of how you hear. Whatever way you want to say it, heed, to take heed, heed, heed. Heed your hearing. Heed your hearing. Are we ready? Believe us. All right, so let's go. Words are fundamental. Words, they are fundamental for communication and comprehension. Words are basic, fundamental, important in the journey of communication or comprehension. Whether they are written, whether they are spoken, words are important. Whether written or spoken, because that is what the teacher uses or utilizes to pass the message across. So in trying to get something across to you, it will be through words, spoken, written, whichever way. But that is the way to communicate the message or the intent of a speaker. Whether it is truth, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It goes positive and negative ways. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But in preaching, what do you use? In preaching, what do you use? Words. So, and then Paul was saying that in this, but his own words is not wisdom of men, but the power of Christ. So his words are backed up with the power of Christ. If you see it, if you read to the end of that place, verse 25, you understand what I'm trying to say. But my focus is not words. Even in Romans 10, 8 to 9, you see, okay, let's just go. Let's not quote this for you. Romans 8, the word is nigh thee, even in the mouth, the word of faith, which we preach. Romans 8. Sorry, Romans 10, 8. Romans 10. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we see that the word is important or is fundamental to communicate basic truth and realities. And also, it is also a tool for deception. It's also a tool that the devil utilizes through false teachers for deception. You see that example in Ephesians chapter 5. I hope I'm not too fast this morning. This is early morning, so take it as calmly as possible, and I'm trying to be very calm. Ephesians 5. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So let no man deceive you with vain words. That means even to deceive persons, even in deception, what will also be utilized is words. So my focus this morning is not words. What we are focused today is hearing. Hearing. The words that are spoken, how do you hear it? How do you hear what is said? In fact, what do you hear when it is being said? Do you understand? Write those two questions. How do you hear? And what do you hear? That's our focus this morning. What do you hear when words are said? How do you hear? Okay. So, hearing, or to hear, in the Greek, is the word akou. A-K-U-O-U. A-K-U-O-U. That's another variation, Akoe, which is A-K-O-E. That's two variations. But the meanings, we'll take it, the three meanings here. Of course, if you have your my sword, which all of you should have, when you go home, you see it in a very detailed manner. Number one, it means to be endowed with the faculty of hearing. To be endowed with the faculty of hearing, the ability to hear. It means you're not deaf. That's one meaning. Another meaning, to pay attention, to attend. When you say attend to what somebody is saying, to pay attention, to consider what is being said or has been said. To pay attention, to consider what is said or what has been said. That is also hearing. Another meaning is to understand, to comprehend. Understand and to comprehend, or to perceive the sense of what he said. To understand, to comprehend the sense of what he said. That means it's not just you'll be able to hear with sounds, you also pay attention and consider it, and you also understand. Comprehend fully the sense of what he said. That means when words are said, it is said to a particular intent or to make a particular sense. So your ability to be able to comprehend that sense is part of hearing. Are you following? I'm taking it this slow, so because of where we're going. All right. So we'll see how the various variations where it was used, and we'll see that it is not just enough to be able to perceive words with your ears. It's not just enough to be able to perceive words through sounds. It is beyond that. All right. Okay. Let's see. You see Acts 2. I don't think we need to read that. But you see what happened in Acts 2. Were the people hearing the multitude or whatever that gathered in Acts 2? Were they hearing what the people were saying with their ears? Could they hear them? Could they hear them? But you don't understand. So what happened? Confusion. So it is not just that somebody is talking, and you can hear what the person say. If you cannot make meaning of that, you will end up in a confused state and even maybe worse off than when you started. All right. So, but let's see other instances. John, the book of John, John 6. John chapter 6. This is supposed to be a brief charge. So cooperate with me. John 6. Verse 60. Jesus had been teaching a lot and talking a lot of things. Then when he got to verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, do you see the two meaning of it, the two here there? The first one, see, when they heard what he was saying, that would mean related to sound, right? They could hear what he was saying. But see the second meaning, John 6:60. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Meaning, obviously, that the second one was not talking about who can hear it with our ears. Rather, who can comprehend? Who can receive it? Do you understand? So, to show you clearly that it's beyond hearing with your ears, but be able to understand and comprehend what is being said. All right. Let's see another variation. Acts 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Right. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, of course, you know that this hearing cannot also be the physical hearing. So this will now be to pay attention, to listen to what he's saying, to consider. You see the second meaning here now at play. Him shall you hear in all things. These prophets that will come up, you must pay attention to him. You must listen to him. You must give your ears to him. You must subject yourself to learn from what he's saying. Okay? All right. So let's see another way to what it means to understand or to receive or to believe. Let's see Acts 10 as a very common example of what happened in the house of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. Now, Peter has been preaching and he was talking and talking a lot of things. But in verse 44, the Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, from our understanding of scriptures, we know that for a man to receive the Holy Ghost, he must believe the gospel, right? So this could definitely not be talking about the fact that they were just there and they were listening to Peter. So it is beyond the fact that they were just hearing what Peter was saying. No, this was on all them who believed. Do you understand the difference now? So this cannot just be because if it was that means once you are preaching, whether a person believes or not, as long as he can hear you, what will happen? You should receive the Holy Ghost. But that's not what happens there. So here, there depicts to believe, to receive what the person is saying. You see that in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, one of our popular scriptures here. Ephesians, the same variation, the same meaning. Verse 13, in whom ye also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you see the interplay of words there. Hearing, to also project that when you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Romans 10. Not even started my topic. Okay. Of course, you see, a lot of scriptures to read. This will be too long. But the process there, when you say on all and God is rich to all who call upon him, how shall they call except they actually hear on whom they have not called? So you see that the difference, what they are talking about, is not just that they will hear with their physical ear. They will what? Believe. They will receive. So the hearing depicts again to believe and to receive something. But let's see another variation in Galatians 4. I have to be fast. How does time fly when you are teaching and not when you are praying? Galatians 4:21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? That means he was talking about different things. People wanted to be under the yoke of the law. And then he's saying, don't you understand what the law actually is about? And then he went on to explain further to them. Do you understand? So it's not like, can't you hear whether the law is speaking and then you are hearing? No. Can't you understand what the law truly means? That is what Paul meant there. Okay, so we've seen how hearing transcends physical hearing or hearing by the ears, but to also further comprehend or to believe or to receive or to give attention to what is being heard. All right, so now let's go to the focus of our teaching. You know it is possible to hear something that is not being said. Do you know that? It is possible to hear what is not being said. Someone is saying something and you are hearing something entirely different. Each of you are laughing. Maybe you're a victim. In fact, I'm sure as I'm talking now, some person might be hearing what I'm not saying. What causes it? Is this true? We examine from scriptures. We're going to the scriptures this morning. All right. Let's see. Jesus persistent issues with the Jews. John, the same book of John, John chapter 8. Jesus had this issue with the Jews consistently at every turn. The same issues. We're going to read, it's a long read, but we'll try to read a part of it so you see how funny the conversation sounded. All right, so John chapter 8, let's start reading from verse 37. Okay, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They see their response. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinced me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And then they continued. The whole process continued until verse 59, when they took up stones to stone him. But it was a very funny conversation. Jesus kept saying one thing. They kept going another direction. Okay, Abraham, no, we are Abraham's children. Later, he said, no, our father is God. No, you cannot be saying this thing. When were you born? He's trying to project something to them, and then they were going on a different tangent. At the point, Jesus said, why can you not understand what I'm saying? To show that the reason why you cannot understand or comprehend is because you are not born of God. And then they started the whole process, until they really picked up stones. Brethren, it is beyond what he said. Because if you hear what now with the Spirit of Christ, with the conversation, it might look funny because in your mind, you'll be like, what Jesus is saying is very clear or plain here now. Why can these people not understand? So, what was their problem? They were hearing what Jesus was not saying. They were hearing their own things. Different situations. They kept going back and forth. And on, okay, we'll get to reactions later. But see John 12. See another example. John 12, verse 29. How it is very easy to hear what is not said. Okay, so Jesus has been speaking, and then the end of the prayer was, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and we glorify it again. Was it not clear? At least the person that documented it heard what was said, right? All right, but see verse 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it turned direct. Others said an angel speak unto him. Now, imagine where something clear was said, and then people were like, no, not thunder. Not angel. Were you to trace the source or who was speaking, or you were simply to receive the words that were spoken? But how they went to another tangent entirely and started debating another thing. No. Nobody was talking. I thunder. You see that lightning. After lightning is thunder. So that was what happened. Another person said his own. Everybody started dissecting. All right. So another funny example. Matthew 27. It's so easy to hear what has not been said. That is why you must pay attention. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Now, somebody said something different or said his own, which had a clear meaning. And the rest were interpreting according to what they heard. And their interpretation or their understanding of what they thought he heard foiled their response. So you see them say, okay, he was crying for Elijah. Okay, no, he's crying for water. Because you see another account, you say that he was thirsty. And then they went to bring vinegar and gave it to him. Two opposite directions. To show you that sometimes The problem might not just be the word spoken, but how the people hear. And your hearing is very important. Very, very important, because that will determine your response. It is what you hear that will determine how you respond. Let's see other examples. Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. This is the story of Stephen and the Jews. Acts 6. All right. Verse 11. Then they summoned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came to him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. We said, "This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." And then that brought Stephen in for trial. Was this actually what Stephen was saying? But because of their own interpretation, this is what, you know, when Jesus said, "I'll destroy this temple and then build it up again." Rather than asking, "What do you mean? Is not possible to physically..." They say, "He wants to scatter our temple. He wants to do this one." Brethren, our understanding is important. You cannot predict this, as you cannot predict people's response sometimes, because it's entirely based on them. Your response to what you hear is based on you. So when the person is teaching, most times you cannot predict how you will hear. It is your own responsibility or your duty to pay attention to your own hearing, to ensure that you are hearing correctly. Otherwise, you can take simple words and turn it upside down, and it will have disastrous consequences. All right, so we'll see. Acts 13, because the response is based on individuals, it cannot be predicted. We'll see Paul's simple message in Acts 13 and see two separate responses according to two separate people or whatever was in their mind. They responded two individual separate ways. That is why it's difficult to predict what somebody will pick from the same word, same message, but see their response. Acts 13, verse 44. Paul had finished talking, and said a lot of things. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Because Paul had been preaching the first Sabbath, and the next Sabbath they all came together. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we have turned to the Gentiles. And so as the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set it to be a light of the Gentiles, and that should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And then you see the whole thing and how they persecuted them, and they had to go to another city. But the same message Paul preached, same words, same message. Two sets of persons took it two different ways. Some received and were rejoicing. Others took it and wanted to kill him on top of it. So, to show you clearly that your response to something that is said is your choice, you cannot blame the speaker. You cannot blame the speaker. The speaker has his own duty to teach the word with accuracy and to say what it is. And of course, the instances we have seen in scriptures, we saw them doing that. But unfortunately, it goes both ways, the speaking and the hearing. So what is your own duty as a hearer, or as the hearee, or whatever it's called, is to ensure that you do not hear what is not being said. I've said this how many times? Please, write it boldly. You must not hear what is not being said, because there are serious consequences to hearing what is not being said. Very serious. It is not a small thing. There are serious consequences when you hear what is not being said. What makes people hear their own things and refuse to listen to the speaker? Most times, it's because of their own preconceived notion. It's because of their own understanding. It's because of what they feel they want to hear or what they think something should be. So when someone else is saying something clear, they've interpreted it based on their own understanding, and then they give it a different meaning entirely. Let's see Acts 22. Acts 22. This was after the Jews have laid hold on Paul, and then they were saying different things, and Paul was trying to defend himself. But it's a long read. But let me read from verse 15 For thou shalt be his witness. Paul was talking about himself and what he has been doing in terms of ministry. Acts 22:15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now that why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that while I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto him, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far thence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him unto unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. That means they were listening to him until, that's what the Bible says, they paid attention to him unto this word. That means they were listening to him until he got to that part. Immediately you got there, take away this person. He's not fit to be among us. He's not fit to live. He's not fit to live. Why? Because their own notion or their own previous understanding is that salvation is reserved for the Jews alone and not for the Gentiles. So if anybody says anything, even closely remote, they are not even trying to understand what the person is saying. They respond immediately based on that mindset. So that is one major reason why people misinterpret words. Because you have one mindset, or you feel, this is my own understanding. And as they are speaking, you don't even give them the benefit of the doubt. You don't even try to understand. You are just hearing with your own mindset. That is wrong. That is a very, very wrong way to hear. You must treat what the person is saying, take it in simplicity. The Bible describes people that have this kind of nature. People that will not hear what is being said, no matter the words they use. And he's not a believer. Let's see example. First Corinthians 14 should be 21. This was talking about, this was quoting from the Old Testament portion. And it said, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. All right, so verse 21, you see, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, said the Lord. So it was talking about the fact that no matter how I speak, whether with people, foreign, new, no matter the way the sign or whatever, how this thing is communicated to these people, they will not hear. Who are the characteristics of these people? Who are the people that this Bible is referring to? Is it you? Is it the believer? These are the characteristics of the man that is not in Christ. It is the man that is not in Christ, or the unbeliever, that will not hear no matter the words that have been used, that will refuse to comprehend, that will act on his own way, that would refuse to take and just say, no, this is what I believe and this is what I'm taking. That is not the mindset, or that is not the attitude or the characteristics of a believer. We see the same people being described here in Hebrews 5:11. Just read this briefly. Hebrews 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say and to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Of course, this was a letter written to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then he was saying that there are a lot of things to say on this matter and even on that, but you are slow to understand. You cannot hear. This obviously cannot be describing a believer. Why? Because of Matthew 13, this is what Jesus' testimony concerning the believer is. Matthew 13, from verse 16. You know, we've done this before, right? The parable of the sower. What message was that? Let me see, people that are listening. Which series did we handle this? Hallelujah. But do you remember when we handled this same one? Yes, you can remember. Do you remember what was taught? But you can remember the message. So if you have questions on the parable of the sower, and you want to go back and refresh your mind and say, okay, what series was it taught? What was actually said here? Where will you go to? You will go to your notes. How will you know which topic to go for? You'll be reading all your notes from beginning to the end. Okay. Anyway, let me continue. I know you are expecting me to give you the expo of where it was taught. Yeah, not serious. Okay, Matthew 13, 16. Jesus was, he had finished talking about the parables, so, and then they asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And he said that this one, no matter what I say, they will not hear. But he gave them a distinction. 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So you see that second here. He was not telling them the parable of the sower again, because he had already told them before. Now he's saying, this is the meaning. Understand there the parable of the sower. So the persons he's describing here that cannot hear are persons that are not believers. You can understand correctly. You can hear well. You don't have a choice of, or you don't have an excuse of, I just misinterpreted what they were saying. That is the characteristics of a man that does not have the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 from 9 to 16, you will see it clearly that you have the Spirit of God, so you are able to comprehend and fully understand all the things that has been freely given to us. So, I said this to say, do not act like a non-believer. Do not act like a character that is not yours. You can understand. So don't act otherwise. Don't be such persons that they will talk, and then you will refuse to hear. You are just hearing your thing. You are not of such. You are a believer. Jesus stressed this again in John chapter 10. John 10, when he said, my sheep hear my voice. They can hear. They can follow. They can hear. They can follow. It's a long read, but I'll just read from verse... Oh my God. Verse 7, then Jesus said unto them again, very verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then you will come, you see down to verse 26, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and no one can pluck them out of them, and they shall never perish, and no one can pluck them out of their hands. Showing that the characteristics of a man that follows Christ, or that is a believer, is that he can hear well. He can recognize, he can comprehend, he can understand. Why is this necessary? Because in discipleship, there is followership, right? Once you hear discipleship, the next opposite, those English words, the ones that they go together. As you hear discipleship, the next thing you must hear is followership, because there is no discipleship without someone following. You cannot have discipleship if there is no followership. Alright, so, and in that process, in the process of discipleship, hearing correctly is paramount. It is very important. In fact, it is fundamental. It is basic. It is almost everything that discipleship entails for you to hear correctly, for you to be able to understand correctly. That is what discipleship entails. If you cannot understand what is being told to you by whoever is discipling you, it means the process of discipleship has failed. It has failed. It is expedient that disciples hear correctly, because they are supposed to do what they hear. They are supposed to act on what they hear. Their lives are supposed to reflect what they have been taught. Their understanding is supposed to reflect what they have been taught. That's what discipleship is about. So if they cannot hear properly, then there is a problem. Let's see scriptures. Philippians 4, 9. We'll just read through this one as quickly as we can. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Please just be fast. That's all I can say. We are almost out of time. Philippians 4, 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he's telling them that the same things you have seen, heard, and witnessed in me, the same things is what you're supposed to do, right? That means if the person is not seeing correctly, the person does not understand, or is not hearing well, what will he be doing? Opposite. He can't do what Paul wants him to do. Because discipleship involves you doing as you have heard. All right, see other scriptures. Colossians 1:23. Just flip your Bible to the next page. Okay. Sorry. That was not Colossians. What was I supposed to read? I'm coming. 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 1:13. You have to be fast. Jesus Christ. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That means the same thing you have heard is what you are supposed to hold fast to, right? So if the person does not hear well, what will happen? The whole process is thwarted. So I think, let's not go back there, but that's Colossians 1:13. But since we're reading 2 Timothy, just read 2 verses. 2 Timothy 2:2, the same 2 Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The disciple should commit the same thing he has heard to others, and those people will teach others also. You know, I think if we had all adhered to this, if the same teaching of what Jesus taught or what Paul taught is what the persons heard and kept teaching, and those persons that heard kept teaching the same thing, are we going to be where we are today? Will the Church of Christ be where we are? So the whole problem started when persons would decide to hear what is not being said. And hearing what is not being said will mean you going to teach what is not being said. And before you know, another whole pattern or a whole line of thought has been developed that is parallel to what the original intention was. So you cannot overstress this. You must hear well. Otherwise, you are not a disciple. A disciple must hear properly. If you do not hear, if you are hearing what your discipler is not saying, you are not a disciple. You're not, because you will end up doing things that are opposite of the intention of the instructions you have received. All right, so a man that does not hear well will not act well. A man that will not hear well will not act well. Remember those instances we showed you earlier where we read, persons that did not hear well, what did they do? We saw the consequences, imprisonment, stoning people, death, different as in murder. All because they refused to hear what the fact they beat up Paul. Just because they were hearing what they wanted to hear. So the consequences are enormous. They are grievous when you don't hear well. You must at all times sincerely seek the sense or the meaning of what is being said to you by your teacher. Remember where we started from when we defined hearing, right? We talked about the fact that you're able to comprehend the sense of what is being said. So you, as someone that is under that is a disciple, you must sincerely, you know the emphasis on the word sincerely. It means that you are not colored by what? Preconceived mindset. It means your mind is free and blank from prejudice. That means you must sincerely, at every point in time, understand the meaning of what is being said. The meaning, get the sense. Do not hear what he's not saying. Do not hear what he's not saying. Do not hear what he's not saying. Do not hear. If you are not sure of the meaning, ask. There's nobody that has two horns here. There's no beast with eight horns that you have to run away from, that you cannot ask questions. Is there? Or do I look like such? No one. So what is the problem? Why can you not ask basic, simple questions? If you cannot understand, if what he said is not clear, you simply say, please, sir, this thing you said, I don't understand it. Did you mean this? And what will happen? Clarification. But to interpret your own meaning, it shows rebellion. That's the only way I can put it. Please write boldly in your notes. Never assume. Never. Just write it in full capital letters. Never assume. You can personalize it. I will never assume. Why? Because when you assume, it is most likely that you will get it wrong. Most likely that you will get it wrong. As in, it is almost 100% certain that in your assumptions, you will get it wrong. Once you start assuming, you will get it wrong. For example, pastor is saying, you need time for ministry. I think that's one of the things we keep hearing here. That a man that does not have time cannot serve, cannot do ministry. So ensure you get jobs that will give you time for ministry. If you hear, resign my job. Did pastor say that? If you hear, pastor does not want me to work. Did pastor say that? So once you start hearing that, what is happening? You're not hearing correctly. Remember when he said, that was cost of discipleship, when many people keep failing this. I think I need to say that, because many people keep failing that in questions. Why did the disciple leave all to follow Jesus? Because Jesus said so. I used to say, when I mark it, I'll be seeing plenty of exegesis. Because the ministry, the work of the ministry was fundamental and important. And it was very, very basic that they give their full attention. Why are you not giving your full attention? If it's everybody should, nobody should work. Simple question. Why did the disciples ask? That question, you can answer it in 5 lines and get even 5 marks. But when you see exegesis, you say, somebody write 2 pages for me and I wrote 0. He did not get it now. Because that is the way that did not hear well. That's the person that will misinterpret that same thing. What pastor's example? Why is that? Because Jesus said so. How can we follow their examples today if your disciple asks you? So if you have not been asked, resign. If you can't resign, who is who? I don't understand. Is it the person that asks you to resign? If you have not been specifically asked, you cannot do that. Never assume. Never assume. If you're a person is sick, you're either in the hospital or in church. And then what you hear is, pastor does not care about us. Or for example, if you don't write your exams on the days that I say, come and write your exam. Like the persons that have missed their exam 3 weeks ago and probably were expecting I was going to give them the exam the next day. I say, sorry, you have missed it. Go and pray and fast for the Lord to change my mind. Even though they had valid excuses. In fact, there are some excuses that you just hear, like, yeah. But if you tell me all the excuses in this universe, and I refuse to agree, if you go and hear, Pastor Joy is wicked. Huh? Am I wicked? They don't want to answer. But seriously, am I wicked? No, it's simply order. It's simply order. So to interpret it in a way that you feel is proper, you're on your own. No, you can't blame anybody for that. But the reason why we have to stress this is because your interpretation will affect your response. Because if you don't hear well, if you don't hear, okay, we are strict on this, because when we fix a date for exam, sit down and write it. We are strict on this so that there can be uniformity. For example, now today I've printed 7 questions for my workers in training. If 2 persons say they are not writing, like what happened last time, but they waste my paper, what should happen? That is wrong. You should pay me for my paper and my time for setting the questions. It is order. We are simply trying to say maintain order. So if you now interpret it as wickedness, it will affect how you see me. You understand? It's true now. It will affect how you see me. It will affect how you even want to receive what I'm saying. Maybe the next time you see me coming, I beg, oh, this woman that is to do face like, oh, I beg, let her just stay at home. Let me stay by home. She does not even understand. She does not. I know that's what your whole conclusion was. She does not understand somebody. If no matter what they say, she does not. Her face is just like this. She does not need to do. If you cannot get the sense of what is being, what is trying to, I would like, for example, that workers in training, if any of you don't want to write your exam today, let me see your hand. If last time I said, okay, you are good to go, don't worry, when do you want to write it? If I just tell me when, I will come and bring the question to your house. What will happen this next exam? Everybody will go and sit there at home. Pastor Joy, please bring the question. I'm still at home. I'm still revising my message. Please, when you're done, just bring the question to my house. It is the purpose of being strict or the instructions so that you will know the right thing to do and conform yourself to it. Not to get a different meaning and to run on your own mindset. So it is very important that you don't assume. Please don't assume. Never. I hope you wrote it there. We'll come and check your notes. Big capital letters. Never assume. Whenever you want to get to that point of trying to assume, never. Just quickly ask. Yes, we are not so much, for God's sake. There's WhatsApp. There's WhatsApp, there's call, there's even a flash. Don't worry, call you back. That you were saying, what did you mean? Never. Why? 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. What does this mean? What does it mean to strive? That same 2 Timothy 2. What does it mean to strive about words? You are picking apart the words. What was the word he said? People that don't have time for ministry are not interested in ministry. Let us see that word now. Look at that word. Look at that word exactly as he said it. It means that it's not, you are not. How can he say that? Don't we have a life? So if I'm now busy and if I'm legitimately busy, does it mean that I actually don't like to do ministry? You understand what I'm trying to say? That's what actually will happen. That's what causes offense. So you're picking apart the word. See that word now. That exact word. On serious belief. Am I on? Do I look on serious? Benjamin, I'm just saying. That's why we must be sincere with this. That's why we are teaching. The purpose of teaching is to ensure that you know what to do and what the proper thing is. Good conduct comes by what? Consistent teaching. So don't pick apart words. When he said that, he was looking in my direction. See, if your name was not called, don't take your sub. Don't take it as your sub. I mean, that's what they call it, subbing, Abby. If your name was, if Henry Tito, for example, came late to church, why? We stay almost, our streets are almost apart. He could have called me and I'll bring him. But because he was filled with his own ways, he probably woke up late. I refused to call me and then he came to church late. If I want to sub you, I will call your name. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not afraid of you. Do you get? If you want to sub, we'll call your name. Like each job when she wants to pray, for example. All right, walk in love. But if your name was not used, do not say it is you. That is assumption. Someone is teaching Bible. The next thing, I know that thing I told him last week. That's why he's been using to preach now. Are you that important? You are not the old Bible. We now use you. You are not the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or someone says something, you say, what is that mood? That mood he was when he was saying the thing. What? They say, make the sense of what he said. You are saying the mood. Especially if you're like WhatsApp or all this thing. You are not there with the person. The person might be typing and smile himself. You will not be interpreting. As he was typing that, I'm sure smoke was coming out from his eye. In fact, he was very, very angry. That word showed that. That is the way that is angry. I beg. Why is he angry? What is this? He didn't tell you he's angry. If you feel he's angry, why don't you are feeling? Is that not the assumption? What are we talking about? Do not assume for him. For example, I can shout from now. It doesn't mean I'm angry. If you come to me, if you are in my house, for example, I can shout on you. It's a bit while I shouted on somebody. But I can shout on you, and the next 5 doesn't mean I'm angry with you. The next time I tell you, come and eat. If you don't want to eat, I'll eat the food. Doesn't mean I'm still angry with you. So why are you giving me anger that is not mine? Is it your anger? If you think I'm angry, what should you ask? Are you angry? Will I kill you? If I'm angry, I'm angry. Yes, what kind of love? I say I'm angry. I can't see they like to make me angry. No matter what, I just get angry because I don't do this passage. Something important she even told me. You know when I want to, I don't like to tell people I miss you. No, the Lord is helping us in that show of affection, for example. So I want to use myself as an example. So if I miss somebody, I can tell you the opposite. I better go back to where you're coming from. Say, where are you? We didn't miss you. Why? You say only 2 weeks to travel. I better go five weeks. Don't worry. Go. Now, if you do not know that, the next thing you say is what? This man is not. For 2 weeks. She didn't even ask how I was, whether I ate on the road, whether the bus broke down, nothing. She just said I should go back. I'll go back now. That's what he asked me. I said, when you say that, I thought you actually, I said, ah, sorry. When I say it, actually, I actually missed you. Rather than hugging you, I'll probably punch you. It's just the, so get the sense. Don't judge based on what you think you know. It is not bright. You will miss it. I can guarantee you will miss it. So when words are being said, ask. Find out the sense in it. Find out the intention. Don't pick out things. Don't strive about words, because that will lead to subverting. It will lead to faction. See what Paul said? It will lead to subverting of hearers. That means you take your interpretation to somebody else. For example, we're finished teaching here, and the next thing, your own interpretation, you start discussing it with her. Now, what do you think about that thing that pastor said? How do you think he said it? You say, hey, I was also thinking that that light. So that means I'm not the only one, Abby. Hey, I assume that that's actually what he was saying. What has happened? You have created a faction of two persons that understand separately what is being taught. Actions and words have consequences. You just don't see the bigger picture. You just think you are gisting. Or you think you are trying. Is it the person you are going to ask to explain to you what pastor said? Is it the person, pastor? What makes you think the person understands too? If you have issues, ask the speaker of the statement. So don't strive about the words that was used, the manner it was said, or the tone it was used. It's not your business. Your purpose or your responsibility as a disciple is to pick the sense in what has been said. If there's something to learn from it, take the learning. If it doesn't apply to you, take it as a caution and move on. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding? That is why we are teaching on heed your hearing. Heed it. You might think that the consequence of not hearing properly will not be as bad as stoning somebody, or for example, or trying to kill somebody. But it's actually almost as bad. The consequences are still grave. First of all, it will affect your own following. It will affect your profit in what is being communicated to you. Whatever you don't understand, you cannot profit from it. And then, of course, it will affect others around you. So, remember the admonition in James 1:19. Be what? What does James 1:19 say? Be swift to hear. Be eager. Be ready. Be always willing to want to hear. Grasp it. Or just be more eager to understand. Of course, you know that here now, what we know we've explained hearing the different meaning of hearing, right? So it's not just that, talk, let me hear. Be eager to understand what is being said. Be eager to get the meaning. And in doing that, be slow to speak. Be slow to vent your contradictions. Be slow. And of course, even be slower to anger. Be very slow. Be very slow. You know, one reason why people misinterpret things, for example, why people say that the grace message is a license to sin, you know, it's because they've not heard well. They are hearing what they want to hear. They have not sat down under good teaching. You just heard one say, hey, are you now saying that if a person is caught in this one, now the trumpet, he will go to heaven? Have I said that? Why did you not wait for the person to say it? You have it. Are you now, is this what, why did you not hear what was said first? What you are putting, are you now saying? The blessings and the riches we have in Christ, it is a spiritual. You have been blessed with all spirit. Everything is spiritual. Jesus did not die for you to have money in your pocket. Are you now saying that God does not want us to prosper? Are you now saying God does not care about us? Yeah, well. Now, it's sounding ludicrous to you now when you are saying, but that is actually the same dangers we make if we don't hear properly. When we have now put our meaning into what has been said. Brethren, be quick to hear, be slow to speak. And finally, keep anger far. The Bible says slow to wrath, right? Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Keep anger far. Please put that far in bold letters. Far! Never respond out of anger. Never. Why? Because Anger will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will take you very far. And then when you want to come back, you will not know how to come back again. You heard something, or you thought you something meant, or you thought somebody meant what it did not mean, and then you react out of anger. If you wanted to take one step, you will take 500. You will go very far. Have people not done it before? Have you not been angry where maybe for you don't, you've not even wanted, somebody just you came, you left 50 naira here, and that was your transport fare, that was what you were planning to buy 20 naira gari, 10 naira sugar, 10 naira cold water, and this one, that 50 naira. Yeah, we have planned it that this 15 naira is my own. And you left it here on your desk and left 1 hour. You came back. You've not even seen the money. You didn't see the money there. You've not even asked to. Who took my 15 naira? All of you, everybody come here. Who take my 15? See, I leave there. See, I dropped this money here. I leave this money here if I go. I see, nobody go sleep on here today. Bring this money. I don't hear. Don't bring my 15 naira. Talk. Later, you've quarreled everybody. After like 30 minutes, you just see the money peeking out from under your bed. That maybe breeze. What will you do? So if you out of shame, you just even kick the money inside where so that don't worry. Rather than go back to apologize that hey, sorry, you just hide the money. Don't worry. I didn't see the money. Why? Anger will take you further. And then someone you want to even go back and say, hey, but you have caused hurt, you have caused different things. The person, when you even go on to tell them sorry, they are now avoiding your things. They are now looking at you like somebody that's fuse plug, you know, electric that can spark at any time. I beg, just give this one space. Never respond out of anger. Never. Because when you've cooled off, anger does not last. It's not forever. It has a short time frame. And when you have calmed down, you now look at yourself like, why did I actually do that? Why did I respond like that? So, never, never. Okay, finally, if you've not heard anything I've said today, please hear this. When you hear wrongly, it has disastrous consequences. That's somewhere about what I've been saying. Don't fall into the category of people that hear wrongly, because it will affect your own actions or your response. So, finally, don't hear what your teacher did not say. Hear well. And respond well. Okay? Did you get that? Was this charge short enough? It was a short charge in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's just bow our heads and pray. Hear well. This charge was short. You can give a charge of 2 hours. Paul gave a brief charge and it lasted all night. He called them for a brief charge. And I'm going tomorrow. Let me just talk to people small. And then it lasted all night. So you cannot time the charge. Only the speaker of the charge can say whether it was short or not. So this was a short charge. All right, let's just bow our heads and pray. You hear well. You hear correctly. Please, this is very, very important. You hear well. You hear correctly. Discipleship entails listening and following instructions. We said spiritual growth comes by hearing the word and following instructions. If there's a problem with how you receive instructions, it means there's automatically going to be a problem with how you will grow. There's automatically going to be a problem with how you get better. There's automatically going to be a problem with the progress you make, with the response you give, with your attitude. Because once you just hear people saying some certain things, it's obvious that this one has not been hearing well. This one has been hearing what he wants to hear. Or this person already has a mindset that, maybe you already have a mindset that this person is wicked, or this person is strict, or this person is not caring, and then whatever the person says, you just interpret it with that mind. That is wrong. Disciples should not do that. You hear well? You're patient in learning. You're patient to respond. You keep anger far. You don't exhibit anger. No matter what, you don't exhibit anger. Love of Christ constrains you. Love of Christ constrains you. You get better and you make the best profit of the training process in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right, so 10 minutes.